Coming up this week, we'll focus on commercial radio in Scotland and dissect the latest on localness with Colin Kelly and Adam Finlay. Also, James Cridland has his latest thoughts on the future development of the industry, and there are more Radio Moments with David Lloyd.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, innovative solutions for creative radio people.
But first, Radio Today's Roy Martin is here to look at the big stories of the week, and we've had another busy week in radio, haven't we?
How do you do? Yes, it has been busy. It's been a roller coaster ride so far of 2019 in radio. I lose track. We weren't here last week because of the round table, but lots happened. Tell me what's happened to you. I forgot. There's so much happened. Tell me what's happened.
Well, we found out on Monday about Capital's schedules, and they're putting Roman Vic and Sonny Jay on across their network on Capital on Breakfast, and they've announced all the local drive time shows. It's a mix of drive time presenters staying on drive time and breakfast teams moving to drive time, which we weren't sure whether they were going to put kind of double and triple headed shows on at drive, but they are.
Yeah, why are they doing this? Because at drive time, it's historically one person reading out the travel news, so these Capital stations are going to have three people, like a zoo format at drive time almost on some of them, which is good that the breakfast guys have still got a gig, but then the drive time guys, or girls of course, guys covering both sexes before anybody starts, are out on their ears. So yeah, it's obviously they've handpicked each one rather than saying, right, all the breakfast teams to drive. We're going to handpick those people who either want to do the show or are available to do the show, or we think sound better than whoever's doing the drive time show. So an interesting approach. And we'll see where we are in a couple of years' time when the rules change again.
And I think it's something we've talked about on this podcast a few weeks ago. We weren't really sure, and I'm still not really sure, about ownership of the different brands and what that means about having to do a local show. So in Wales, Global own Capital South Wales and Heart North Wales, and Communicorp own Heart South Wales and Capital North Wales. So all four of those are going to have a local programme.
Yeah, now this is something, localness rules were announced last year that they were going to be relaxed, it wasn't sure, and I sent probably a dozen emails back and forth between Ofcom, and I spoke to people within the radio groups, and nobody knew the answer as to the question, can everybody network even though they don't have the same owners? So can Communicorp take 24/7 content from a global station? And Ofcom didn't actually answer, and I've still got the email trail that's unanswered. But I think their official answer to that is a radio station can do what it wants so long as it can prove it's still in control of at least some of its output. So yeah, I think they're sticking with the fact that they can't network 24/7. Otherwise, then Wales would have had one Capital show and one Heart show at drive time.
Yeah. And as we mentioned, we were on last week, they did touch on it on the round table, but obviously Bauer buying UKRD, and then on the same day, the Lynx, Celador and Wireless groups being put into hold separate from Bauer. So we're into hold separate again. Who knows how long this might go on?
Oh, we love hold separate, don't we? I think it was 2 years it lasted last time with Global and GMG. Hopefully this one will be a little bit more simple. It'll be a case of, hey, Bauer, what are you doing? And they'll say, well, we're doing this, and look, we've already sold them, so there's no issue. And maybe the CMA say, yep, you know what, that's fine, carry on. Maybe that'll take about 6 months, but who knows? Nobody knows at this stage.
And it is different to the Global purchase of GMG in that what the CMA are looking at is advertising revenue share rather than audience share necessarily. And you know, Lynx, Celador, Wireless, Local, they're sizable groups, but they're not massive groups on the scale that GMG were, so it doesn't add significant competition.
Yeah, which is probably why they've got rid of a couple of stations on the south coast, which they probably didn't need to under old rules, but because Wave, of course, owned by Bauer, is such a beast on the south coast, it probably takes a large percentage of the radio advertising plate on the south coast. So giving away a couple of local stations might match that if they're comparing like for like.
So talking of the CMA, the Country Music Association, country is big. It's the new yeah. big thing in UK radio, because why have one come along when you have two come along at once?
Yeah, I feel sorry for Chris Country, that's been banging the country drum for the last, what, 6 or 7 years. Suddenly Global launch a playlist, shall we call it, on their app, Smooth Country, which is great. I love Smooth Country. Just waiting for Smooth Jazz to arrive now. But yeah, and then Bauer come along with nobody thought this was coming along, did they? Country Hits Radio on 15 local DAB multiplexes and more to come in the future as well. So they're billing this as a national country music station for the UK, which is something we have never had before, assuming it obviously reaches a large percentage of the UK. It can become a national station. So yeah, country is the new, I don't know, country is the new what?
The new thing. popular because we saw C2C obviously last weekend. It was massive event in London. So Bauer already got a country station in Northern Ireland and one in Suffolk that they've just bought from Lynx Group. So I guess Country Hits takes over those as well at some point.
Well, I don't know. The Hits hasn't taken over Hallam FM yet. So, you know,
true.
And Planet Rock exists along with absolute classic rock. So Bauer's very good at keeping similar brands running at the same time. So who knows what's going on at Bauer?
Watch this space. Talking of Bauer in Northern Ireland as well, an interesting Ofcom breach this week with Cool FM and Downtown. They basically had presumably a freelancer in to do the news while they all went to the Bauer Awards a couple of years ago. The newsreader basically said a man who was accused of murder had actually done the murder, which later transpired out that he pleaded guilty to it. But at the time, Ofcom considered that to be an inaccurate news report. That's had people in the industry talking this week about contempt of court rules and just kind of basic law in journalism.
I must admit, I did look at the Ofcom report, and it took me a few minutes to work out why it was an error. Obviously, journalists look at it and think, yeah, that's wrong, you shouldn't do that. But I looked at the sentence and thought, the man who killed Colin Horner in front of his three-year-old son has been charged with murder. I thought, well, if he's killed him, then... Oh, I see. Yeah, that took a few minutes. But I'm not a journalist. I just write about radio.
And you've not had your legal refresher with Paul Chandler recently, have you? Either?
Yeah. So, yeah, better call Paul. better call Paul, Roy. Interesting that it happened at the same time that the Barrow Awards were taking place. So I wonder where the rest of the team were that particular day.
Yeah, an interesting response from Bauer to Ofcom that were basically saying, you know, if it subsequently transpires that the pleads guilty or is found guilty, then we weren't in breach because the report was accurate. Kind of, it'll be right at some point. Which I think Bauer have had,
for long.
Bauer have had a bit of criticism for perhaps not holding their hands up straight away and admitting that it was a clear mistake.
Yeah.
Changes are coming to 5 Live. Phil Williams will be leaving in May. He's going to be replaced on the weeknight Late Show by Sarah Brett. And Phil's been at 5 Live for about 18 years. There's a lot of love for Phil on Twitter when he announced it this week as well. Everyone from Simon Mayo to, you know, massive authors.
And do we know why he's leaving? Is it his decision to go?
I have no idea. I just turn up and read the news at 5 Live. I don't get involved in management decisions.
Yeah, inside gossip.
No, I don't know anything. I just turn up and occasionally write some news. Yes, I know. Yeah. Let's move on. TalkSport moved buildings this week into their shiny new News UK home. They went on about it quite a lot on air. I was seeing some comments from listeners and people getting a bit fed up of them talking about it on air and tweeting about it all the time. But they do look very nice, those studios.
Well, there is an old school radio rule that says nobody cares about what's going on behind the microphone, and you shouldn't really say, oh, I've just had a biscuit, or oh, I've just moved into a new studio, whatever it is. Do people care? Obviously not, by the reaction on Twitter.
We care. Radio Audio Week is coming up in May. Plans for that have been announced. There's going to be the Radio Festival. There's going to be the Young Arias. There's going to be the Tuning In Conference. There's going to be the Podcast Awards. It's nice that they're trying to push everything all together and make this big splash for a week.
It's good for a week. It's a shame it's just industry stuff, because what we need in the UK, I think, is a radio week where everybody in the industry shouts about radio together rather than each individual company doing it occasionally. Wouldn't you think that they did it in Australia a couple of years ago, I think, at Radio Day. So Radio Week would be good if it involves some kind of consumer activity, don't you think?
Yeah, and I think some of the, like the European stuff, I know I've not actually been to any of them, but you've been a couple of radio conferences in Europe, haven't you? And they kind of, they get radio stations involved a bit more.
Yeah, they all get together and shout about how good radio is, which is good. I mean, Radio Audio Week is fantastic for the industry. I'm not trying to talk that down at all. But in addition, just an idea sprung into my head. It'd be good if we could do something public-facing, maybe one day. Who knows?
Yeah, you're full of good ideas. Tell us about the good idea that everybody's been praising you for this week.
Yeah, so this was because a lot of people are being made redundant or being put at risk of redundancy. They may not be employed by Global and Communicore within the next couple of months. So I thought, wouldn't it be nice to be able to get a list of those people and give them to the people who are still employing people in radio? That's not just other radio stations, commercially and the BBC, of course, but independent, you know, production houses and digital agencies, people like that. It'd be good if they could just go on the website and say, oh, all these people, talented people at Global and Communicore looking for work, and I might just have the perfect role. I've had a couple of radio station owners get in touch and say, yeah, that'd be really good if you could maybe send me the list or let me know when it's ready. So if you're out of work, shall we say, within the next couple of months, let me know about it. Just drop me an email, roy.martin@radiotoday.co.uk, and we'll add you to the list, which is now live, by the way, up on radiotoday.co.uk/people.
Excellent. Grand idea. We wholeheartedly salute you and your kindness for providing this service.
I'm all heart. Oh, no, wait a minute.
You're all 2CRFM. Right, yes. We're going to Scotland next. Get on the train.
Oh, right, yeah, let's go up and have a Scottish edition. Before we do, can I mention we have at Radio Today Scott on the Twitter, which will tweet stuff about Scotland, which has done for the last few years indeed. So if you want to follow Scottish-only radio news or extra Scottish radio news, then a sneaky plug for at Radio Today, Scott.
Visual radio smarter and cheaper. Virtual director from Broadcast Bionics combines your social media, messaging, photos, audio and videos with intelligent camera control and automated graphics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
Yes, this is the Radio Today programme, and we can bring in some guests to help us look in detail at what some of all these recent changes in the industry mean for Scotland. Colin Kelly is here, a consultant, a former presenter at Real Radio Scotland, Clyde One, BBC Radio Scotland. Hi, Colin.
Hiya.
We've also got Adam Finlay with us as well, Managing Director of New Wave Media, owners of Original 106 in Aberdeen. He's also the MD of Central FM in Stirling, also worked at Radio 4th and Tay and North Sound. So well-travelled in radio in Scotland, Adam.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to see everybody.
Well, we can't really see each other, but we can all hear each other via the magic of technology. But
I have you all in my imagination.
This is the future. You see, you can be anywhere talking to anybody and it all sounds like you're in the same place. So, yeah. So big news in Scotland this week. It even made it to Holyrood. The Paisley MSP, George Adam, he was asking a question at First Minister's Questions this week, and this is what he put to Nicola Sturgeon.
Is the First Minister aware that Global Radio, who operate Heart, Capital and Smooth Radio in Scotland, plan to create a virtual radio network to compete with BBC Radio 1 and Radio 2 using local licences to do so? Does the First Minister agree with me that Ofcom must become involved and keep local commercial radio in Scotland local?
First Minister.
Well, I'm a great supporter of and fan of local radio, so I think its place in our broadcasting environment is very, very important. So I hope Ofcom would take into account all of the very reasonable points that George Adam has just made.
Well, we'll get into some of the detail in a little while, but is there anything Scottish Parliament could do, even if it wanted to? Let's start with you, Colin.
No, because broadcasting is a reserved matter to Westminster, so the Scottish Parliament can certainly make its voice heard, which it's attempting to do, but it doesn't have any power.
So what's the point in them talking about it in Parliament?
Well, I think the point is if the UK radio industry regulator refuses to listen to the Scottish Parliament or refuses to acknowledge what they're saying, and what they're saying is that they should review these recent decisions and that they should place any other changes or reduction in hours, they should place all that on hold until they've reviewed what's going on. And I think if they ignore the voice of the Scottish Parliament and the voice of the First Minister, and at the moment the voice of large swathes of our industry, people will be entitled to question why the regulator ignored all that and used as the basis of these decisions consultation exercises which at times attracted as few as 18 or maybe 67 responses.
Well, Adam, you obviously run some stations. You presumably knew the consultation was going on. Did you get involved with it?
We did. We got very heavily involved in it through both directly contributing to all the various consultations, but also we are very active and engaged with Radio Centre through our Radio Centre membership as well. So we submitted a number of responses. All of them were supportive of further deregulation. And the reason behind that is because at the end of the day, we run commercial businesses, and we want the freest, widest possible flexibility in order to run those businesses. Now, having said all that, all our radio stations choose to actually, you know, operate pretty much traditionally as radio has always operated. So, you know, even before deregulation, we could have gone to more network programming and more syndication had we chosen to do that. We take a very different position from Global and Bauer, which is we still very much believe in localness, and that sets us apart from the bigger guys. So we'll always support further deregulation and the widest possible freedom available to all of us, but we as a business will choose to continue to ply our business as we see fit, and that maintains around localness.
And I suppose being cynical about it as a business owner, if you want to plan an exit strategy where you're going to sell, then I suppose if you're able to network your stations with us, whatever you like, whether that's 21 hours from England, then that makes your business more saleable.
I mean, I suppose, you know, at the end of the day, any business or organisation looking to purchase another business will look at the strategic value that that business brings with it, and deregulation will certainly contribute to that. But that's not a motivation for supporting deregulation. I actually completely agree with a lot of Colin's points, actually, and I think the Scottish Parliament have been late to the party on this one. I mean, you know, deregulation has been an ongoing journey that started much earlier than the more recent announcements. And I think where the Scottish Parliament and, for that matter, Ofcom across the UK have been slightly neglectful is enabling radio operators to apply for FM licences over the last 10 years. We've not been able to grow our businesses, and not being able to grow our businesses has resulted in us having to sort of explore economies of scale. And that's not very exciting, frankly. Not been very welcome news.
Yeah, I know that's something you've been quite vocal about, Colin, as well. Should we start seeing some of these licences being re-awarded?
Exactly, because Adam and his team are exactly the kind of operator that should be encouraged and that the industry needs. And Adam experienced this over-regulation in the 90s when SRH and EMAP could have done a lot more than they were allowed to at the time if they'd been afforded the same leniency that Global are getting now. If Ashley Tabor wants to run an app from Knightsbridge with Roman Kemp on it all day, that's absolutely fine by me. And he can use a national DAB station to do that as well. I'm concerned about the use of local spectrum, local right licences, which will renew next year when he has stated that he wants to build a national network. Meanwhile, let's take London. You've got stations like Cool London, who used to scramble round on top of tower blocks to try and build that cultural connection with the people in their communities, now sidelined on an app. You've got people like Resonance FM, bound by an overly regulated community radio structure. And Ashley Tabor's response is wall-to-wall Roman Kemp on Capital, not just through London, which is, by the way, losing its localness as well. He's imposing that on the whole rest of the UK. And I think a regulator needs to look at that. The deregulation is being wrongly applied.
But in terms of where we are, we rolled out local licences historically over the last 40-odd years rather than national ones. We only had one national FM licence, so it's not necessarily this regulator's to blame for that. Had we had some pop FM national stations in the 90s, then perhaps we wouldn't have got to where we are now.
Sure, but that's not Ofcom's place. That requires legislation. That's from DCMS. And when these format change requests all came in at the same time from Global and Communicore, who, by the way, are supposed to be competitive against each other in markets such as Central Scotland, when all those format change requests were received, Ofcom should have woke up and realised what was going on and how they were being used. And and they should have placed these format change requests on hold until they could have a proper look at what was going on, because this may comply with the letter of the legislation, but it sure as hell does not comply with the spirit of it.
Well, what we've seen from DCMS, though, is that actually they've asked Ofcom to get on with this, and when they finally get round to finding some time in Parliament, whether that'll happen after Brexit or not, they're going to actually take deregulation further, so stations will be able to flip music formats as well that they can't at the moment. So I think, for all you're saying, it's all valid points, but we're probably going to go further rather than row backwards.
I think that is a great shame, and I think it is no coincidence that you see the fracture that's happening across the UK with the demise of local communities and local identities, food banks, teenagers disenchanted, disconnected to the rest of society. Local radio has a role to play here, and it's not happening.
Can I, just interject
and
say that, in the sort of background to a lot of what Colin's saying, which is a feeling I think held by many stakeholders who are looking onto the current direction of travel for commercial radio, in particular local radio. Where we find ourselves at this sort of very disappointing imbalance is that FM licensing over the last 10 years has been the exclusive preserve of community radio. And there has been this belief that somehow community radio is going to fill this gap that's being left by local radio. And I worry about that, because community radio by its nature is vulnerable. It's very limited in what it can do in terms of be a sustainable business. You know, a lot of them find it very difficult to survive from one month to the next. So I think what's happened over the last 10 years is, as these bigger networks have looked for economies of scale, what Ofcom have not been doing is looking at best use of FM spectrum. And that's left businesses like mine in a very, very difficult place. We can't go forward on FM. DAB and the economics of DAB are still, you know, 5+ years away from being an economical, viable platform for a business perspective. And so we're left in no man's land. That's where this frustration has suddenly come to the attention of the Scottish Parliament. Colin's right. I mean, these aren't devolved powers. They're not. They can be a very angry and vocal voice in all this. But there is an opportunity for the Scottish Parliament to levy a lot of pressure on Ofcom and look at whether there's still some, best use for FM spectrum. I mean, if what happens in Scotland and Bauer follow a similar route to global, it's going to leave a number of areas without any presence of local radio, let alone reduced hours. And I just think that's a massive imbalance. I just don't think, in the void of all that, that they've been thinking about a rich, dynamic, colourful marketplace. That's,
I mean, and Ofcom has said that it values local radio, it cares about local radio, and you have one operator who is being allowed pretty much to do whatever he likes, and you have another like Adam who's trying to invest in that output and doing a good job of it, and he's stuck, he's hemmed in. It's not right.
But Adam, if we talk about Original 106, I think your reach is the best it's ever been now, joint best at 85,000. Central in its TSA is beating both Capital and Heart as well. So by playing the local card, you're winning audience. It's just that you have smaller licenses than perhaps some of the big boys have.
Yeah, we're able to punch and hold our own where we're afforded licenses. But why am I not allowed one in Edinburgh? Why is there not a second player in Inverness? You know, why is there not a second player in Murrayshire, and so forth? I think, Colin's absolutely right in the direction of travel that he sees this all going. But I think we'd all agree the problem in all of this is that it leaves a massive void, a massive gap, an absence of choice. And that's where Ofcom have fallen down, and DCMS, if you want to, pin it back to their policies, and their belief has been, let's hold back FM from commercial radio, give it exclusively to community radio, in the hope that that somehow drives DAB listening and gets us to that switch-off date, or switch-over date, which they want to call it now.
And DAB is not the answer everybody seems to think it is. It's an interim technology. It will be remembered as the mini-disc of broadcasting.
Nobody's more frustrated by the lack of growth on DAB than me. I mean, a lot of my stations would be in a considerably healthier place if DAB take-up had been far more quicker over the last 20 years. And I don't think any of us, when we got into DAB, when I was an SRH back in those heydays, as it were, thought that we'd be here 20 years on with DAB struggling to get beyond 50% in Scotland. You know, we were hoping for something far more impactful than that. So there has been a frustration for everybody, including ourselves. You know, we look forward to more DAB traction. And the quicker that happens, the more commercially viable it will be.
Yeah, I mean, you're obviously doing something right in Aberdeen. I think Originals' audience has doubled in 6 years. Am I right? So the local card is working. Is it viable?
The local card is working. It is viable. And we pursue a very different philosophy from Global and Bauer, and that's fine. And I respect their own philosophies, and they want to charge off and hunt down Radio 1 and Radio 2 audiences, and they believe networking to be the solution to that. Then I think they, I believe in free capital, capitalism. I mean, that's the market. But I've not been afforded the same growth pattern. I've not been afforded the same ability to set up local radio stations in local areas and serve local audiences. That has not been afforded to me or anyone else that wanted to get into that market. And that's where the unfairness comes in. That is why, the frustration, that's being felt by everybody. And the Scottish Parliament, I think, have only just sort of woken up to it in the last year, frankly. You know, this has been a journey for the last 10 years. Yeah. And they've been absolutely obsessed with television. If you look at the 2011 communications bill that the Scottish Parliament drew up by Blair, whose second name now temporarily escapes me, but he was the architect of it. 47 pages of the Communications and Broadcasting Bill from the Scottish Parliament in 2011, not one mention of radio. Not one. Not a mention of it. Not even a page dedicated to it. They've been completely and utterly obsessed with television in Scotland. And, up the blind side comes all these very unpopular policies, it's left a very, very difficult marketplace for a lot of people.
Which I think was never the intention of the legislation. If the Scottish Parliament had known, I think it would have said a lot more, a lot sooner. And I think, in fairness to them, I think if DCMS had known the outcome, I think if they'd understood how this legislation would be applied, I think they would have taken a very different view on it. Ofcom is operating, in my view, well outside its remit on this.
I mean, we're decrying the loss of local radio, and at the moment it's Heart and Capital and Smooth. How much of what they were doing was actually very local anyway?
Well, very little, but,
we lose?
It's the spectrum. That's what I'm concerned about. If people want to put Roman Kemp on, if that's what Ashley Tabor wants to do, that's fine. All I'm saying is that other people who do want to do what Adam's Correct. Doing on the local spectrum should be given that opportunity. So these licenses, these FM licenses, should not automatically roll over. They should be put out to the market. And if Adam and others, anyone else, Channel 4, for example, if they think that they can operate a local FM license for London or Glasgow or Edinburgh or wherever, then they should be allowed the opportunity to bid for it. That's what I'm objecting to. Ashley Tabor has said he wants to build national networks to compete with Radio 1 and 2. He should not be allowed to use local FM spectrum in order to achieve that.
Talking about beating Radio 1 and Radio 2, I think if you look at some of Bauer's big stations in Scotland, so Forth and Clyde and Tay, North Sound, MFR, they're all number one in the market. They're all already beating Radio 1 and Radio 2, which, similar cities in England, Radio 2 is going to be the market leader. So the Scottish card is working in Edinburgh and Glasgow and Dundee and Aberdeen.
The BBC's just spent £32 million investing in more content for Scotland. I'm not sure how much Ashley Tabor and his team understand Scotland, because they would know that they're already beating Radio 1 and Radio 2 here. So why are they taking away local programming and giving us more Roman Kemp and Marvin Humes and Jamie Theakston? These guys are absolutely fine. But if somebody thinks that they can run an operation with Scottish talent or Manchester talent or whoever, they should be given the opportunity to bid for these local FM licenses. We have to stop this automatic rollover for somebody who has publicly said he doesn't want it.
Adam, do English voices on Scottish radio jar with people in Scotland? There's a kind of perception that it does, but I'm guessing you don't think so.
No, I don't. I'm not convinced that you have to have a Scottish accent to attract a Scottish audience. I think it's all about your relevance and your content and your connectivity to that market. Being able to talk about where you were last night, what you saw, what happened to you in the local supermarket. The localness is going to be the element that chimes with people. I'm not convinced that you have to have a Scottish dialect to attract a Scottish audience directly as such. But I do think that, again, Colin's absolutely right again. You know, there has been this charge towards automatic rollovers, and of course that is a very thorny subject for a lot of people because they've invested, you know, tens of millions in DAB over the last 20 years. And this rollover was the incentive in order to stay on DAB. We would not have the situation that we have today if that rollover had not been in play for the last sort of 10, 15 years that it has been. You know, you'd find a lot more stations would have what they call decoupled their analog signal from DAB more so in the last 15 or so years. But of course, you know, that preservation and that protectionist mentality of getting a rollover and staying on DAB in the hope that one day it's all going to come good has been the charge that we've been on. And I do think, you know, adding to the point about FM licensing, my big frustration has been the almost like confetti, frankly, handing out of community licenses across the UK, which has completely and utterly dominated the last remaining use of FM spectrum, arguably. Those are the areas that we could have actually been making a big difference in. Had there been a more balanced approach by Ofcom and DCMS, where they looked at the FM licensing that was available and said, you know, right, this might be a community radio station market or it might be a commercial radio station market and let's see what comes in. There was not a balanced approach to the usage of FM spectrum, and that's what's left a number of operators, including the ones that Bauer have just scooped up. I mean, if you look at Lynx, Celador, UKRD and the portfolio of wireless stations, they were sort of in the same place in England. I mean, there was very limited FM growth for them left, you know, so, you know, they've been at an impasse and not been able to grow their businesses because they've got the same problems down south. Mm. And of course, the one remaining big difference here in Scotland is we don't have BBC local radio. We have Nations Radio, you know, here, the Nation BBC Scotland Radio. So, you know, our local radio landscape is really important to local communities. Yeah. Really important to local communities.
Adam, I wonder, as an operator that's a member of Radio Centre, whether you feel your voice and some of the points you're raising here is being heard by Radio Centre, especially since, as you say, the Bauer purchases mean they've got more seats at the table now with those new groups they've bought. Is Radio Centre just Global and Bauer? Can it exist going forward if it's dominated by them? And how do you get your voice across if Radio Centre ceases to exist in that lobbying format?
I have to say that we've been a very active and engaged member of Radio Centre, and it is one of those membership organisations where you really do get in as much as you get out, as much as you put in. And I find them very open to listening to everybody's views. I find that they have taken a very impartial position in the past. And I know it's not shared by everybody, but I have to be honest, as I sit there, and I'm actually on the policy group as well, we meet four times a year, I do feel listened to, I feel that they are interested in what I have to say, and I feel that they try to feed in a very diminishing landscape of operators, the views and the thoughts of everybody.
Do you think it's got a future? Do you think it will get to the point where it's just Global and Bauer at that top table on the board and they'll say, well, we don't want to play with each other?
No, I think they do have a future and they play a really important role because Bauer and Global generally, as organisations, don't get on very well. I mean, if you go back to the 90s where you had the sort of the mighty Ralph Bernards and David Mansfields and Phil Rileys and Lord, you know, Jimmy Gordon, these chaps, you know, sat in rooms and worked out what was best for the radio sector and almost put their own ambitions aside to work out what was best for radio as an industry, as a sector. Then they would then get their jackets off and have a scrap about which license they were going to bid for. Bauer and Global don't do that. They don't operate in a way that's best for the radio sector. They operate first and foremost in a direction that's best for their own individual organisations. There's been a few casualties as a result of that.
Yeah, and Ashley would say a lot of the changes that they're bringing in is about improving quality. I know a few years back now, Global put in daytime networking. Ashley said there weren't 50 great mid-morning presenters.
I think
you were one of them as well, Colin.
I was one of the mediocre radio presenters. Not one that he took off, but one that got myself taken off, to be honest. He was absolutely... there's a lot... Ashley Tabor and Global have been very good for commercial radio in many ways. He operates, I think he sees himself a little bit like some sort of tech entrepreneur, and that is great. There's been a lot of positive things have come from Global that we should all appreciate and be grateful for.
I want to quickly talk about news as well. Obviously this week, a lot of Scottish success at the IRN Commercial Radio News Awards, which is obviously fantastic news. How important, as we move to a future where some of the programmes can come from anywhere, and we don't know whether Bauer are going to do that in Scotland or not yet, how important is that local news, and does it have a future in terms of quality local news?
Absolutely. It's where I cut my teeth. It's a huge part of what got me into radio. It's something I still enjoy listening to in the radio. Some wonderful reporting across Bauer and Global and the other networks as well. It's great to see it being recognised. If we take Ofcom and Global and Communicore at their word, then part of this will mean more investment in local news. I'll believe it when I hear it.
And I suppose the danger is, if there isn't any decent news that fits with the brand and the kind of showbiz nature of the station, then it loses its importance. You know, if the biggest story in town is, you know, there's a pensioner gone missing, then that doesn't really fit into a showbiz breakfast show. So
right, and Adam's talking about as well, it's more than just the 2 minute news bulletin. It's the character of the service. It's when his part of Aberdeen gets flooded and they do wall to wall coverage. When Brexit happens and there are food shortages and medical shortages and blockades at the ports, Adam can roll out, you know, local content. He can do wall-to-wall coverage on it. They can do flood appeals. They can collect toys for kids and all that stuff that local radio does so well. It's about affinity. And I'm not sure that Roman Kemp and Jamie Theakston have much affinity with the local audiences in Scotland.
It depends, I guess, whether the audiences want that affinity or whether they want the celebrity, because that's the culture we've moved to over the last 15 years.
Well, we'll see.
Adam, it's expensive to do some of that local stuff, isn't it?
It's expensive, but it's investment and it gets audiences. And, you know, that's what creates the connectivity with people in your area. You know, Bon Jovi sounds just as good on Radio 2 as he does on Original. But what defines Original is the fact that we can absolutely get to the granular day-to-day lives of local people without sounding parochial, but sounding connected. You know, and there's still a massive appetite for good local radio. We've just not had the opportunity to expand local radio because local radio has been prevented from expanding on FM. Our audiences, as you rightly have pointed out, are doing very well. Our Original's not on DAB, and yet it's got record high audiences. It's something we'll keep a watching brief on, and at some point, you know, as DAB lures into economic viability, we'll keep an eye on it. But you know, that localness and that connectivity done well, and I'm very lucky to have excellent professional teams that deliver that content to a very high standard, are demonstrating that it works, and we're going to continue to do that.
And this week we heard that Des Clark, who's obviously been on Capital Breakfast for a long time, is moving to Global from Communicore and going to be doing Heart Drive in Scotland. Colin, I know you've been quite vocal online about that.
Well, he's going to a competitor, is he? He's going to a competitor. And not only that, but when that was announced, Capital Scotland tweeted their good luck to him and actually named exactly where he was going. And all I'll say on that is that these two radio stations are required by law to compete against each other, and that is very unusual.
But they compete against each other in the advertising market, not necessarily for audiences.
They do indeed. And when one breakfast show host moves to another competing drive time show, I would suggest that would be fairly major news and would impact on the local advertising market. And it is very unusual in that kind of environment for one station to name the other that it's going to and to wish them well. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Right. And to kind of wrap this up, we started right out at the beginning about the Parliament and what they could do, and devolution. Obviously, you know, in Scotland you run your own hospitals and schools, but not your broadcast regulation. And that's partly, I think, because of the EU rules. So we're not going to be in the EU after next week...
There's a strong case, because the EU would say that they will only deal with one broadcast regulator for a member state. So that's Ofcom. So that's fine. But when we leave the EU, that argument would no longer stack up. So then it would be for the Scottish government to ask the Westminster government to afford them the ability to devolve broadcasting regulations to Scotland. And it would be interesting when they do make that request, which I'm sure they will, it would be interesting to hear the Westminster government's response.
I suppose the timing of that is all quite interesting if you were cynical, because you would suggest that Global have been allowed to do what they want to do with these licences now before that happens.
Well, that would be up to you if you wanted to be cynical. conspiracist.
Adam, would you prefer to be dealing with with regulators and government in Edinburgh rather than London?
The closer that legislators are to the areas that they're legislating, they tend to be more alive to the issues. We've got a really good relationship with Ofcom Scotland. They're very interested in what's happening with radio around Scotland. And I think there is a concern shared that we've maybe not been balancing the direction of travel carefully enough. And the Scottish Parliament's now alive to it. I'm delighted that George Adams has raised the concerns, if I'm being honest. I hope we don't miss the wood for the trees. Preventing radio stations from trying to operate is not the correct direction. Allowing more radio stations to serve more markets is the correct direction of travel. And I hope that we get ourselves into a position where we can balance it more fairly.
And I suppose we've talked a lot about Global, we better ask a question about Bauer, because the new Ofcom approved areas don't really fit with what Bauer was suggesting in the consultation they wanted to do. They appear to be saying they wanted to run an all Scotland network all day long, but actually the Ofcom rules mean they can run 21 hours from England if they want, but they've got to have 3 hours separate in the south of Scotland to the north of Scotland.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit short-sighted. It also means, this is ludicrous, it means that if they wanted, I'm sure they wouldn't do this, Radio 4th, because they're both considered south of Scotland, Radio 4th could co-locate in Clydebank with Radio Clyde as long as they did 3 hours from Glasgow for Edinburgh. You know, anybody that understands Scotland will tell you that the division is east-west. It's not really north-south. So whoever carved that one up really didn't understand what they were doing.
And I don't know, does Stirling fit in the south and Aberdeen in the north in your stations?
Yeah, the actual interesting thing about the defined maps is if I was Kingdom FM, I'm split in the middle. So if you look at the maps that were issued by Ofcom, Central sits in the south and that's fine. It could have sat in either and would have been happy in either. Kingdom's interesting because Kingdom, where, if I've understood the lines correctly, it seems to be split right through the middle of Fife. So I'm not sure. I mean, they've defined Kingdom as in the south, but I think it's because it's based in Kirkcaldy now. Had it relocated to, say, St Andrews as a building, mm-hmm. I wonder if that would have been defined to have sat in the north, actually. So at the end of the day, I have to be honest, I supported Bauer's view that we should have one area. And the reason behind that is because I go back to my earlier point, which is radio operators should be allowed the widest, flexible, freest choice to ply their trade as they see fit. We can talk about the controversies of it, the implications of it, and that attracts a rich and interesting and colourful debate. But where we have found ourselves is we have not been balancing the direction of travel with new operators looking to move into these gaps that are being exited by the Globals and the Bowers, who are pursuing and see the competition being Radio 1 and Radio 2. I see my competition trying to get the largest audience in my local area. Sometimes that's Radio 1 and sometimes that's Radio 2, but it's not exclusively either of them.
Bauer have been a bit cautious historically. They haven't changed the names of their Clyde 2 and 4th 2 stations, and they've not taken some of the English daytime programming. Do you think Bauer will continue to kind of, if it was you, would you keep Scotland separate from some of the English networking that they're doing across the big cities because they're so dominant in the market?
I think Bauer run the risk at some point where the perception that they're trying to portray to their local audience is that somehow the shop front is still very much a local shop front, but behind it is all this kind of centralised product. As audiences become wiser and become more kind of tuned into how technology works, I wonder if the one thing that's a bit Global is they've been very honest about their direction of travel. They've been very transparent and they've been very honest in many respects. We might not like it, but they've been very honest. Bauer have been slightly less transparent about what they've been trying to do. They've been trying to, achieve two things. And the one thing that I've always been brought up, and my father, as you all know, was one of the kind of founding fathers of commercial radio. One of the things that he always said is you must never, ever lose the trust of your listener. And I would be slightly concerned that maybe one or two operators are at risk of losing that trust. They want to be perceived as something that they're not. And I would be worried about whether we damage our own sector. I mean, the minute the, one of the big players starts being perceived in that manner, it and they're that big and they're that dominant, it affects all of us. And I would hate to be caught in the slipstream of somebody else's strategy that we never wanted to sign up to in the first place.
Well, it's been fascinating talking to you both, and hopefully we've enlightened some of our English listeners in particular about what's going on in Scotland, because I think there's a kind of lack of understanding in the industry that actually there's a lot of differences between England and Scotland. We think we're all the same, but maybe not. Thanks, guys.
My pleasure. Thank you. Good Thank to you. Chat, Adam. Thanks again. All
Thank
the
you.
Best.
Likewise. Yes, you too.
Cheers, guys.
So Adam Findlay from Central FM and Original 106, and Colin Kelly, consultant. What do you make of that, Roy?
Yeah, lively. That was interesting. Colin certainly gave us a couple of sound bites there, didn't he? That was fantastic. I think Innovator or Terminator was my favourite there. He thinks, Ashley, if he wants to be remembered as an Innovator or a Terminator, just wait until Bauer do what they're doing. They won't look at Ashley anymore. They'll think Bauer are the big evil corporation of radio when they network their 100-plus licences that they now own. So, yeah, interesting. And interesting to see what will happen in the future.
I don't know whether Bauer will do it in Scotland, you know, because, I mean, it's partly because Graham Bryce is obviously from Scotland and he's running the big city stations now. I think they'll be easier to do it in England and share all the programmes and share a breakfast show. I can't see them doing it in Scotland.
So maybe they'll just network everything they can in Scotland within Scotland and do everything they can within England. So is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, you look at, you know, Key 103 in its market was not doing very well because of Capital and Heart and Smooth. But actually, if you look at Forth and Clyde in particular, as the two big cities in Edinburgh, they are storming it. They are number one in their market. They're beating Radio 1 and Radio 2 even.
So what were they doing differently that Key 103, when it existed, was doing? Surely it was formatted the same music log, same news on the hour. What was
the
difference?
Maybe Scotland, the communities in Scotland are a bit prouder. I don't know. It's perhaps it's too late to ask them though. We should have asked them. But you know, are the Edinburgh and Glasgow audiences more proud of their city than perhaps some of the cities in England?
Mm. Like you said, the lack of BBC local radio in the mix as well could. I don't know if it could affect it at all, but it could have some issues with it.
There we are. Well, if you enjoyed hearing them, we hope you did, then thank you for listening, and tell everybody else you know that they might want to have a listen to that debate, because, as you say, it was quite lively. And we were all hooked up in great quality, some of us on ISDN and IPDTL and all sorts of things like that. If you want a low-cost solution to do that in your radio station, then it's worth trying out CleanFeed if you've not tried it yet. It's a great free product.
That was a great link there, straight thanks. Into the advert. Go thanks. On, you carry on.
Yes, thanks for interrupting. If you're doing That's an OB or an interview for a podcast or something like this, and you want a free solution, CleanFeed's got a free version, and it sounds just as good as we do now in live quality audio over the web, and you can even record. They've got some add-ons that you can pay for as well that make it even better, but as I say, it won't cost you anything to get started. It'll just take you a minute or so to sign up, so give it a go today at cleanfeed.net. That's cleanfeed.net. That's the end of the advert.
I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist, and I'm often asked what the difference is between podcasting and radio, since I'm increasingly straddling both industries. The answer? Well, podcasters like each other.
We're currently coming to you live from PodFest in San Diego. Not San Diego, Orlando, excuse me. Where? I don't know what city I'm in.
Where are we? Where are we this week?
As I was at PodFest, a podcasting conference in Orlando in Florida last week. The conference, sponsored by Himalaya, had over 1,000 podcasters in attendance. Every month, a third of all US adults listen to podcasting, according to an Edison Research study just released, and podcasting is clearly growing and thriving. Yet podcasters are very aware that there's plenty of space to grow. Podcasting faces many changes, not least the lumbering giant of Spotify, who've decided that podcasting is their new focus, and an increasingly sleepy Apple, who appear to have, well, just given up. Yet there's overwhelmingly a feeling of comradeship in podcasting. Different companies talk together with one aim, to help everyone increase the medium. A rising tide gathers all ships, as they say. By and large, podcasters speak with one voice, keen to promote the medium and happy to share tips for stuff that works. Some of the information shared at PodFest would have been worth many thousands of pounds of consultancy time, yet there it was, available to anyone who paid their ticket and walked into the room. The apparent small size of the industry is often used by radio to denigrate it. But the often quoted figure of $314 million that podcasting earned in 2017 is a bit misleading, because that's US ad revenue from the larger agencies only. Podcasting earns from all kinds of other activities as well, from live shows to Patreon subscriptions and donations. Podcasting has lots to teach radio. Revenue diversification, for one, particularly beneficial as audiences tire of long advertising stop sets. But podcasting could also teach radio to speak with one voice. Radio has unprecedented competition, yet the radio industry continues to fail to work together. We offer a complicated view of our business to advertisers, auto manufacturers, or even receiver manufacturers. We invest headlong in our own poor apps instead of invest in a better one for the industry. We don't call out the press when they post another lazy Buggles headline. At Podfest, I didn't see any radio broadcasters, which was a shame, because radio, you've no idea what you're missing. You can get my weekly newsletter at james.crid.land and daily podcast news at podnews.net. Thank you to the US's TSA for breaking my normal microphone. And until next time, keep listening. Now on the Radio Today programme, a man whose microphone always works. It's David Lloyd. Radio
Moments. Simon Mayo's new show on Scala Radio is 3 hours long. That's a little bit shorter than the one he hosted this week, 20 years ago.
Is what true?
Is it true that you've broken the record? It looks like you have.
That's what we're celebrating. 37 hours, the longest radio show ever in the history of the world.
Oh, everybody, brilliant. Congratulations to Simon Mayo! So how's it been? How's it been in that last hour? Tell us.
The last hour here with Pete Tong was fantastic, and that was the easiest bit, because we finally realised that it was all possible. But between 3 and 6 in the morning, this morning, when everyone felt nauseous, that was really difficult.
Well, that was us.
I was just worried that I was going to throw up on Zoe Ball, which would have probably been the first and not a very pleasant
experience. Well, I think Dawn's just done that. But I've got some more good news for you, because not only have you done the longest broadcast, but actually you've broken the record for the largest number of people that actually died during a broadcast. And I think 11 people...
Simon Mayo with Dawn French on Red Nose Day 1999 with the longest ever radio show, or at least it was at the time. It's 3 years now since we started to build out the second commercial national digital multiplex and a whole host of new services.
We are ready with the world's newest 24/7 sports radio station, broadcasting live sport, essential energetic commentary, and searing opinion on DAB and online. The prodigal son is born. This is Talk Sport 2, because sport never stops.
So you found us then. Good. Welcome to Talk Sport 2. Welcome to Cheltenham. A very good morning to you. I'm Ian Danter. So the first brand new sports radio station in a generation launches today with a commitment to bring you the very best in live sport 24/7. 365 days a year. My name's Ian Danter. We're coming to you live from the Skybet box here at Cheltenham.
TalkSport 2, which alongside Mellow Magic launched this week in 2016. It's still on air, unlike Team Talk 252, which launched from Leeds on the old Atlantic 252 frequency this week 17 years ago. That station lasted just 5 months. Jeff Love was a prolific British arranger and composer of easy listening music. His son was in radio, and Adrian Love died 20 years ago this week.
LBC 97.3 stereo, where news comes first.
Right on, right on, right on. 8 minutes past 11, Nightline. We are going to open the lines because talking to Tom about kids, I suddenly realised that quite a few kids listen to Nightline under the covers and things at this time of night before they have to go to sleep. So we thought we'd open the lines and invite anybody to phone in, particularly the smaller people, to phone in on 353 81.
Give it some welly gal. Whitney Houston, and a song written by Albert Hammond and John Bettis, who used to write the words for the Carpenter songs. And One Moment in Time before that, the Kendalls, and a never ending song of love. Hee haw. And stuff. 13 minutes past four. Loving the
Adrian Love, who died this week in 99, aged just 54, known for his time on Capital, not least with Anna Rayburn, and also LBC, Radio 2, BBC Local Radio, and UBN. 11th of March 2002, and a new BBC national station.
The first BBC music station in 32 years.
This isn't just music. This is Six Music.
What a way to start a radio station. Democracy in action. Hi, welcome. Let's tell you what's going to be happening on this damn show. What have we got going on today? Reaches for menu. Okay, that was Ashburn, Baby Vern, of course, and well done to all of you who voted for that. And lots of other runners. We had Oasis, The Zeppelin, but no Ashworthy winners there. So congratulations to them and their cheeky Northern Irish ways. If you're listening in Northern Ireland, hey, how are you? If you want to get in touch with us here at Six Music from the BBC, you can do so. You can get on the internet. Have you got one of them? It's like a toaster with buttons. www.bbc.co.uk.
The beginnings of BBC Six Music this week in those WWW days of 17 years ago. It was originally codenamed Network Y, using the huge BBC archives of concerts and music interviews to explore music from the 1970s to the 1990s. 7 years ago, the BBC made its first broadcast from the new enlarged broadcasting house, with transmission by the Burmese section of the World Service. And that meant a fond farewell at last to Bush House.
It was more than just a building. I think it was an organism in itself. I mean, every day the night shift would melt away as the sun came up. We'd often go and have cigarettes on the roof and watch the buildings of the Thames slowly become lit with the morning sun. The building would then stir into action as the first editors came in, the editorial meetings happened, the news agenda was set.
There's this sense that time pulses through the entire building. All the programs in all the different languages ticking on and off to the exact second, all based on a Greenwich Mean Time. When I think of the Peeps, always, I think of Bush House.
I was saying to colleagues that, you know, where the marble floors are slightly dented, that was my feet that did that, you know, over the years. We've lived through so much change in this building and so much, you know, so much history.
I love this building. Every bit of it. I loved it from the very first moment I entered the building.
Reflections as the World Service moved its output across to Broadcasting House this week in 2012. 2006 now, and what's happening in Manchester?
Anthony H. Wilson, The Hacienda, Busby Gates,
Bobby Charlton,
Commonwealth Games, Little Kirsty, George Best,
George Eves sets a new scoring record for Manchester United,
Night and Day, Hall Lake, Peter Hook, Oldham Street, Boddington's Brewery,
Bayek, it's gorgeous,
Stephen Patrick Morrissey, Lowry, The Ritz, Factory Records, Cobble Street, a new music station is born. XFM.
XFM.
97.7. XFM Manchester.
GCAP launching XFM in Manchester this week in 2006. It launched on a 3% weekly reach. It's now double that. And don't you just love that every Manchester station always kicks off with that pride? It's Radio X now, of course. Across in Stoke this week in 68.
And it's taken another 13 years to bring back genuine local radio to the Potteries. BBC Radio Stoke-on-Trent is the latest broadcasting event in the chain of wireless experiment in the Potteries. It might be said that the whole concept of broadcasting began here, for it was in 1851 that the great pioneer of radio, Oliver Lodge, was born in Pencor. We in the new local station have a tradition to live up to.
BBC Radio Stoke launching this week in 1968. So with Heart 80s launching 2 years ago.
Hello, I'm Roberto. Welcome to Heart 80s. Let's start with Whitney Houston.
That great Tony Blackburn top 40 link 38 years ago.
Number 26.
From Duran Duran.
And Capital paying its first dividend 42 years ago as profits rose to 1.8 million on a 6 million turnover. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David Lloyd, and to our regulars James Cridland and Roy Martin, and this week to our guests, Adam Findlay from Central and Original, and the consultant Colin Kelly. Thank you to you as well for listening. We've got more for you next week.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.